Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Monday, Monday. So good to me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday morning. It was all I hoped it would be.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Monday morning, couldn't guarantee that Monday evening you would still be here with me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes, you can finally cry all of the time. Monday, Monday.
Collins, five ball. Deep in the right field. Isaac Collins. It is.
You know what, Gray?
Monday, Monday.
Monday, Joel.
The quarterback whisperer is back.
The quarterback whisperer.
Kevin O'Connell's power in the National Football League has resurrected Danny Dimes.
That's right, baby.
Danny Dimes is your starting quarterback for the Baltimore Colts.
Oh, wait a minute.
Indianapolis Colts.
What year is it? Wait.
That's exactly the response I wanted.
Tell me, Joel, what are the Browns to you right now? Do the Browns exist this year in your mind?
I'll tell you what. After I saw Shedeur Sanders play a little bit over the weekend, I thought, you know what? He might be pretty good. Might be all right.
You know, I'm starting to see after he did decently, and he did decently. You can't say he did amazingly. The system did him well. He did well with the system. Yeah. He didn't prove he could carry a game if he needed to, but he's a fifth-round quarterback. I think he did pretty well for that. I'm starting to see hate. I'm starting to see what I have finally decided. Like, all right, that's just hatred, which is that he'll never be a complete NFL starter, according to one NFL insider. It's like, okay, what is an NFL insider? Does it breathe oxygen? Like, come on.
Well, the preseason doesn't mean much. We all know that. But when your team starts with a thrashing like that that the Packers took at home, it still hurts a little bit, doesn't it? It still hurts.
Totally. I'll be chatting about it plenty during my afternoon show. But basically right now, according to the fan bases of each respective team, after the first preseason game, we can be 100% sure that the Packers aren't going to complete a single touchdown or pass, for that matter, to a receiver. What else? Also, the Bears aren't going to beat anybody except the Packers. And the Vikings and the Lions are unstoppable. They're going to share the Super Bowl together this year as one undefeated team.
It is a good conclusion after week one.
Sarcasm aside, yeah, it was an ugly game yesterday. I may have gotten less interested about halftime.
It's hard to get real excited, but what was discouraging, I think, for the Packers a little bit is, and I'm not real sure because I tuned in right at the start of the game, and I'm not sure what level the starters were at to start that game, but the Colts did whatever they wanted to offensively those first two or three drives. I mean, they just kind of they had gaping holes. There seemed to be a problem, and maybe they were all back upside. I wasn't paying attention to that part of it.
The Colts yesterday, I'm not sure who the Colts played. The Packers played the Jets.
The Jets.
The Jets ran us over. I got the Colts,
Jets, and Texans all in my brain. Yes,
right
Jets.
Vibe, wrong team. We got steamrolled by the Jets, and that is an ugly sentence. I hope that sentence doesn't exist outside the preseason.
Yeah, but it's just pretty. Don't get too excited, folks.
Nah.
With that said, the Packers probably win six games this year. So
there were a lot of drops. Like, there are still things. There were a lot of drops.
Yeah. So we have interesting things on the menu this week for the gray area. We kick off your Monday morning with a little bit of everything. We'll save the Packers for later, but general thoughts about the NFL is that Anthony Richardson is out as Colts quarterback, and Danny Dimes apparently is in. Shedeur Sanders looked pretty good. Everybody else, there really wasn't any big takeaways. There's a couple little injuries here and there. Nothing earth-shattering. You just don't see starters out on the field that long in the preseason, so you just don't see many big stories anymore in the preseason as far as injuries go.
Yeah, the point of the preseason, here's a perspective on it that helped me kind of get, that helped me feel like I was more comfortable with the preseason. It's like, why does it exist? I mean, and I don't think people are wondering why it exists, but it basically is a moment. You need a moment. You need a dress rehearsal. You need a crunch time moment that doesn't affect the regular season stats. And a preseason game is perfect because these guys know that they could win or lose a job just like they might do in a regular season game, but this is before the statistics matter for that regular season that might get you into the later postseason, et cetera. So it's like, here's one is like, yeah, this is it matters to you and only you. The fans don't care, but you got to care just like it's a regular season game. And that gives you the environment that you need to let the cream flow to the top.
So Gray and I have a shared Google sheet that we put our ideas on for the gray area and just thoughts from the week. And I appreciate the addition. I didn't realize that Teddy Two Gloves was also called Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes, that's one of the best.
Teddy Roosevelt.
That was one of the best nicknames I've ever heard. That was when he was drafted way back when by the Vikings, and he was going to be their quarterback of the future. I heard him called Teddy Roosevelt. I thought, I'm never letting that go.
He's cashing in a few more million with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's officially on their second or third string quarterback, so he's cashing in a little bit more.
Well, he just got suspended from coaching high school football because he's a good guy.
He was giving a lot of stuff to the kid. Well, he was giving him rides and stuff. It wasn't like thousands and thousands of dollars, but he broke a couple rules.
Came out. He was giving him meals. He was giving him rides to practice and stuff. Come to find out that the school he was coaching at is in one of like the roughest neighborhoods within 100 miles. Like, he was protecting these kids. And until somebody comes out and says he was also buying them meth and using that to fuel their success, like, Teddy Bridgewater is looking like a really Disney hero kind of guy right now. Like, he's that dusty janitor from Air Bud who's actually an all-time NBA great.
Yeah, yeah. And you never know. I mean, I remember way back in 1997 or 8, I think it was, when there was a certain quarterback who everybody thought was going to retire, and he was doing carpentry work and masonry work, and all of a sudden the Minnesota Vikings picked up a Randall Cunningham.
Ooh.
And he came back for a couple glorious years. You never know. I think I saw the odds on DraftKings or Vegas is like 25,000 to 1 that Teddy Roosevelt is the NFL MVP this year. See, that's worth putting $10 on right there.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I mean, imagine you'll be a one-man news story for the lazy bet you made, and I'm not going to plug any apps, but I'm going to go download an app and put $10 on some nonsense real quick.
So the NFL season's underway with week one of the preseason. Packers did not look good. They'll do it again this weekend. I was watching a little bit of the Little League World Series over the weekend, too, and I was noticing – and I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm just saying that what were my parents thinking? I had the Little League safety equipment they have now is just, it's like they're in suits of armor out there with the helmet and the face guards going around and the protectors for the feet and the kneecaps and stuff like that. I remember playing baseball in shorts with a wooden bat that was halfway splintered already. Ah, it'll work fine. Go, you're not going to hit home run anyway. But the safety equipment for some of these little leaguers right now, it's good. But for an old timer like me, I'm just like, That's kind of crazy.
I'm picturing parents looking at baseball injuries in a lineup of photos, kind of like they showed us of drug users in DARE. It's just like, do you want this to happen to your family? buy champion safety equipment today to prevent this from happening. It's like it's happened to two kids. They've got photos of two kids who took a ball to the knee. It's like, yep, okay, that's all I need to see. Scared straight, right there.
Yeah, I've always thought the pitchers should. I was a pitcher in high school and in Little League and all that stuff, and I always thought that the pitcher was the most susceptible. It's the closest to the.
I'd be terrified.
And the pitcher throws the ball and is not in a fielding position for about 2 seconds. It's just kind of arms flailing like some kind of a spinning torture wheel. Arms flailing. Hit me.
No. You're basically you've converted yourself from a big bad baseball player into sacrificial lamb if things go just a certain way for this next 3 or 4 seconds, and you just wait. You wait for your death in that time, and it probably doesn't come. But every once in a while, I mean, I definitely when Thor and I used to play pitch and catch because there's just two of us. You know, one throws, the other swings, and hopefully it gets anywhere near where you can catch it. Like, the other thing that you're actually really hoping is hopefully it's nowhere near me. I don't want to catch it. This is a baseball flying at my face.
Yeah, and softball too. Softball was the first. The women are always the ones to do the smart stuff first, and they put on the mask first, and now the guys are catching up a little bit. They're like, oh, maybe I don't want to get hit in the head by that 90-mile-an-hour pitch. Yeah. I guess I'll do what they're doing.
It starts with making fun of them, and then we adopt their ideas, and then we try to claim they were ours. just wait. It's inevitable.
Speaking of sports, a quick shout out to Andy Pilch. Andy, there was a nice article in the Price County Review last week about Andy and his many, many years of coaching and teaching. He retired and then he just said, that was nice. I announced that I'm not going to retire. I'm just going to keep teaching. He's still coaching down in Prentice. Had the pleasure of being having Andy Pilch teach my son at St. Anthony's, and he gave me some good advice and tips when I was head coaching at Shawamigan. And so, Andy, hats off and salute to you and your wife, Chris. Just great people.
Absolutely. Fortunate enough to have had a gym class or two. Yeah. Taught by, he's Mr. Pilch to me.
Mr. Pilch.
I think, yeah. I was in 6th or 7th grade. I think there were a couple of years where stars lined up so that I was in a class that was the most organized gym class I've ever been a part of. It was an awesome feeling. It was an absolutely awesome feeling because I think we, you know, I was part of a span in St. Anthony's where there were a few. I think I probably had 4 or 5 different Phi Ed teachers, and each had a different style. And I can think of one in particular where one is like, all right, he's going to decide the moment before class what we're doing that day, whereas Mr. Pilch had a clipboard, and I know that clipboard was probably made Sunday morning and in a very thoughtful fashion, and we got muscle groups worked out. Like, that was honestly probably the best workouts I ever got came in Mr. Pilch's Phi Ed classes.
Yeah, he always has had a great way of making everyone feel involved and welcome, because when you get a Phi Ed class, sometimes that can be a struggle. So.
If you had a Mr. Pilch gym class, you might remember we didn't play dodgeball. We played aerial bombardment.
Mm.
And that's a phrase I don't think I ever heard outside of that gym class. It was a special type of dodgeball where when you were out, you went behind the opponents. And your team could throw a ball over the opponents to you, almost like a touchdown pass fade to the end zone.
Sure.
And if you caught that, that's how you got back in. Okay. Like, you didn't get your opponents back in by catching or anything like that. You had to throw over. So it was a really accessible, like you said, it was a very accessible, everybody had a shot when you were playing aerial bombardment.
Yeah, it's very nice. We'll talk a little bit about the longest kick in the history of the NFL happened over the weekend.
In football,
although
ever.
It's not going to last. I mean, it doesn't count because it's preseason.
Which kills me. And it wasn't penalized or anything. There's 3 points on the board yesterday.
Yeah.
But it won't go into the scoreboard. According to the record books, Justin Tucker's 66-yarder from a year or two ago remains the record. But Cam Little of the Jaguars nailed a 70-yard kick yesterday.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. I almost fell out of my chair. I thought that 62-yarder from whoever had one before Matt Prater back in Denver, and this wasn't even in Denver. I mean, it was astounding, and it won't be counted, and that's not fair. But it's actually in football history. There was a kicker from Abilene Christian who'd put up a 69-yarder in college football, and that was regarded as the longest kick in recorded football. This one even broke that one.
It looked like it could have made it from maybe 72 or 73, too, because it didn't like hit the crossbar and go over. It was over by a little bit.
I loved the announcer's reaction to it. It was just it was about halfway to the post, and he went, "Shoot!" Like, what?
What?
Because nobody thought, you see they're going to attempt the 70-yarder. It's like, okay, you're out of ideas. I don't like where the Jags are headed. Oh, my gosh. Hopefully.
So basically, the Jaguars get fourth down at their own 45-yard line this year. They might consider kicking a field goal at their own 45-yard line. That would be a 72-yard field goal, and this guy can nail it. Well, they're not going to do it that often, but at the end of a half or at the end of a game, if you're fourth and 30 from your own 45-yard line, he might get a shot at it.
I hate to make the joke, but it bears making. Cam Little came up big. That was wow. Yeah.
He's the talk of definitely talk of the kickers and punters and all and that part of football this past weekend, no doubt about it.
I'm realizing that's all I know about that game, but it was actually the first preseason game for their brand new head coach, Liam Cohen, too. So I'm actually going to go back and look at that Jaguars game a little closer. It scares me now that he was attempting a 70-yarder because that was a first-year head coach's call. Jaguars. Oh, no.
Coming up in the second half of the Gray Area, we're going to talk about board games and how I think they're the reason my family's break up. More of that to come in just a little bit here. Twice an hour news and sports on the Gray Area.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump expected to talk to reporters in the White House briefing room shortly about continued efforts to crack down on crime in Washington, D.C. ABC senior political correspondent Rachel Scott is there.
President Trump has accused crime in Washington of spiraling out of control. D.C.'s Mayor Muriel Bowser this weekend defending the work local officials have done to drive down crime, saying that she spoke with Trump about the issue.
The president is very aware of our efforts.
D.C. police data shows crime in the nation's capital is down 7% since last year, with violent crime dropping 26% and property crime down 5%.
Record rainfall soaking the Midwest. In Wisconsin, more than a foot of rain caused flooding and forced hundreds of water rescues. In Lincoln, Nebraska, hundreds of prison inmates were displaced after the roof was blown off of two housing units. Australia, the latest country to announce it will recognize a Palestinian state at next month's UN. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. If you're going to be out and about, remember to practice flood safety. Floodwater can contain all sorts of things that could hurt you, such as debris, sewage, and gasoline. Don't drive or walk through high water either. 6 inches of moving water can knock you off your feet, and 2 feet of water can carry away most vehicles. Be safe before, during, and after floods. You can find more tips at dhs.wisconsin.gov/flood. Wednesday, August 20th at 4:30 p.m., the Wisconsin Historical Society is going to be at the Concrete Park to record footage of the park and the Rock Garden Tavern for an upcoming exhibit at the brand new Wisconsin History Center in Madison. The tavern is asking for your help to create an authentic tavern night atmosphere. Please arrive by 4:30, and remember, filming does start around 5 p.m. Come have a drink and help them make history. Once again, this is taking place Wednesday, August 20th at 4:30 p.m. over at the Rock Garden Tavern, just off of Highway 13 in Phillips. Radio stations across Wisconsin could be in jeopardy of going off the air now that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is shutting down. Savannah Tolmie Olson reports.
In June, President Donald Trump signed a bill to cut more than $1 billion to the CPB, which helps fund PBS, NPR, and hundreds of other stations across the country. WOJB in Hayward is one of them. It's owned by the Lac-Couturier Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe Tribe. Carl Habeck is the general manager.
We're a public nonprofit radio station, 501c3. We are a 100,000-watt station, so we broadcast approximately a 100-mile radius of Hayward, Wisconsin.
WOJB will lose more than $200,000 in funding from the CPB. That's 41% of their operating budget. Habeck says so far he hasn't had to consider pay cuts or layoffs. At first he was worried, but now they're figuring out how to keep going, largely by increasing their underwriting and relying on their listeners.
We've received so many unsolicited donations in the last couple of weeks. It is unbelievable. You know, opening up their checkbooks and showing that they care and they want to keep WOJB on the air.
Especially up north, Habeck says the station is vital.
We're in a very rural area. I mean, there's a lot of areas where forget about cable TV or anything like that. You have a hard enough time getting cell phone service in a lot of areas up here. So therefore, the radio is basically the only news and entertainment source for people. Weather emergencies, school closings.
The Corporation for Public Broadcasting will lose most of its staff at the end of September. The nearly 60-year-old agency provides funding to more than 40 stations across Wisconsin, including the WPR network. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A three-game series getting underway tonight between the Brewers and the Pittsburgh Pirates at American Family Field. Yesterday, outfielder Isaac Collins, the hero again, with a walk-off home run to win 7-6. When did the Brewers think Collins had the potential in the big leagues? Pat Murphy.
We did see some greatness out of him last year at the end in terms of, you know, this kid might be a big leaguer, but you just didn't know. And with our outfield situation the way it was, you're not going to sneak in front of some of these guys, you know, the way Mitch and Yelly is a possible outfielder. You got Churio and Freelick. How's Collins going to get a chance? Well, opportunity happens, and he's made the most of it.
NFL Packers holding a closed practice session this morning before opening it back up to the public tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. They're coming off a rough 30-10 preseason loss to the Jets. The Badgers wrapping up their 2 weeks of practice in Platteville.
Well, I mean, obviously it's been a great 14 days. There's a lot of things that have happened out here, and I really do think we are in a really good place.
That's head coach Luke Fickle with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Join the main stop of the Presley Pay It Forward Cancer Ride at Northwoods Harley-Davidson, Highway 51 in Arbavita, Saturday, August 16th from noon to 4. Enjoy live music, food, raffles, and prizes, all to support families fighting childhood cancer and facing financial hardship. Thank you, riders, for helping fill the Milwaukee Cancer Center toy closet. Sponsored by D&D Tire and Auto Center in Park Falls, offering 24-hour towing and recovery. Now through August 31st, get up to $140 back on Cooper Tires and $180 back on Goodyear Tires when you buy four.
Attention deer hunters, Baiters is having a preseason sale. Save 20% on one or two-man ladder stands and hang-on tree stands from River's Edge. Find even more savings on pop-up ground blinds with see-through fabric. You can see them, but they can't see you. 20% off now from Baronet and Rhino. They set up within seconds, and the included carrying bag makes them beyond portable. Baiters' sale on in-stock inventory lasts all month while supplies last. Baiters Sports Center, next to Pick and Save in Phillips.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for deck, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code AIRPORT25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code AIRPORT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code AIRPORT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. We'll get to 81 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop down to around 60 for a low. Tomorrow, we could see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
You just don't wake up and roll out of bed and beat teams in this league. You got to come with a purpose. When you knock on my door.
Now every time I go for said every coach ever.
You just don't wake up and roll out of bed and beat teams in this league. You got to come with a purpose.
Apparently Joel is that fan.
That's right.
You just don't wake up and roll out of bed and beat teams in this league. You got to come with a purpose.
There's a show I listen to, a podcast, and every week they do, in the football season, they do a useless montage. It is a montage of quotes like that from coaches, post-game press conferences, and it is the biggest bunch of garble.
Oh, yeah.
It's always, we're focused on next week.
That's one of the things.
You don't roll out of bed and win.
Yeah. It's about depending on your teammates, you know? You got to go out there and give it your best because that's what that's all about. Like, John Madden might have started it.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that might be the most impressive to me, if you made me pick one thing about the NFL, is they can pick any human being. I mean, any of them. If you've got a person who can string together even half of an English sentence, the NFL can take that person and help have them participate in an interview in that same non-answer, soundbite, garbage way.
Mm-hmm. It's all there, yeah.
It's incredible. The NFL PR team, and you know it's got to be the NFL themselves because they're not going to let 32 different teams all be responsible for that.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, it's like the logistics. Sun Tzu and generals through history would admire the logistics of training those guys to sound like nothing. Actually, Joel, you and I should take notes. Mm-hmm. 300 words out of Patrick Mahomes, no substance at all, unless exactly. He wants there to be. Exactly. Catch him on a podcast.
Well, I have found the core, the reason why families break up, why there's issues with divorce and separation. And I don't think families should be allowed to play board games. I really don't think so. I think it's a
certain.
I think it's
games.
A friend thing. I think it's maybe friends get together and play board games and couples, but having families play Monopoly or Risk, I think there's a high risk to it. Literally,
yeah, yes. all puns aside, Monopoly is not meant to be an everybody has a fun time game.
No, because once you look somebody in the eye and say, no, you're bankrupt, and they have to walk away from the table, and their joy of that game is over. There's no turning back for a couple hours.
No.
There's no turning back.
No, and like the game is, like, aside from the fact that the designer did not intend for it to be that way, like, they didn't intend for it to be fun all the way through for everybody. It's meant to be a slow and brutal death. It's like, okay, I'm going to take your first mistake, your first bad roll, I'm going to turn it into two houses, and then I'm going to turn those into three hotels, and I'm going to beat you to death with them. And that's exactly what I told Rachel was going to happen. I said, hey, hon, I'm sorry. I am kind of competitive, but with Monopoly, there's only one way to play.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you just kind of, the dice rolled, and I might buy a house here.
You're driving around the block. All right. You're driving around the block, and you went around the block once, and I made you pay $50. All right. So I took that $50 and I invested in even a more painful venture the next time you come around the block. It's going to be even more painful. And then the next time, guess what? It's going to be even more painful.
Yep. Oh, and if we have one of those weird games where neither of us gets a Monopoly on any of the colors, it's like, okay, then I want the railroads, and I'm going to swing everything I got at you to trade me those railroads because I need to extract some dough out of you somehow. Like, daddy needs some rent. So we're going to make up a system one way or the other to make that happen. And like railroads, utilities, I'm hoping for those brown ones. The first set of houses, the cheapest ones there immediately after go.
The Mediterranean Boardwalk or Mediterranean and Baltic Sea.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Those are the two.
The cheapest ones right there because you can get a nice cheap set of hotels and get the monopoly going quick.
Oh, yeah.
But I love that because you've got two landmines right there that immediately sap that one trickle. That banana bag hanging on the rack after a hard weekend, that pass go $200 that you just need because you know you're going to land on something. You're going to have to pay $25 three different times.
I always found Illinois Avenue right before the parking space one was always a landmine too, and the yellow ones and oh, I mean Monopoly. So did you ever play? You got to buy all the property or do you pass them out? Do you deal them out when you played Monopoly?
Well, you buy them.
Okay, because you can do a faster version of the game where you just shuffle the cards and you just deal them to everybody, and that speeds up the game. And if you're time limited, that's something you can do.
Are you talking about communism?
Yeah, I'm talking exactly. Yeah,
I think you're talking about communism.
It basically, but it's a way to make the game faster.
If
you do it that way, then it progresses a little bit quicker.
There was this weird smell in the air all of a sudden. that explains it. I'm never going to play it that way, but I respect your choices in life.
I love Monopoly as a kid, and I don't know why I did. I love Monopoly so much as a kid, and I haven't admitted this to many people besides my wife and maybe my immediate brothers, is that I love Monopoly so much as a kid that when my brothers wouldn't play with me, I would take the hat and the dog and the thimble and I would line them up and I would roll the dice and I would keep track of how many times they went around the board to see who would win going around the board.
Wow.
That's how I for some reason, something about Monopoly. I
immediately think of chess. And you know, when people do that with chess and play both sides, there's no randomness to chess. So I've never been the type of person like, can you meditate so hard you're two people and you can play chess as two people? Because I kind of know what the other guy's going to do. And it's tough for me not to pick a favorite and win when I play chess against myself. But like Monopoly, it's dice rolls. So
yeah.
I kind of like that. You have less agency there. And until after the dice have been cast. So it's somehow both less depressing than people playing chess against themselves and less impressive.
Yeah, I went to a friend's house on Saturday, and we were going to do a pontoon ride, but it was kind of rainy and drippy, so we played a little Sushi Go, played a little Apples to Apples. We played like three or four different board games. I encourage people to go through your closet and see how strong your family ties and binds are. But there are games that don't do that. But there are certain games like Risk and like Monopoly, and there's an old game called Payday that we used to play. And Trouble. Trouble's one,
ooh,
too.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it could be, but Trouble, sometimes you hit a number and you have to make a decision of who's going to get it.
Yep.
And sometimes if it's someone you're married to, we can have a discussion.
Politics. There's politics in board games. There are apolitical ones, too. Like, if somebody gets mad at you playing Farkle, they were going to get mad at you anyway.
Yeah.
There's a list of games that are not the source of the issues that pop up while you're playing.
Like Yahtzee. I mean, Yahtzee, you're playing yourself. It's you're doing your game
and just
totaling against someone else. There's no way you're not playing defense on somebody else's score in Yahtzee.
Yahtzee's like golf. Like, I've got to beat myself before I beat anybody else. It's like, I got to make sure I don't do the stupid things I do every time. It's like that. I pick that for my three of a kind. Like, dude, come on, think.
Anytime in a board game where you can play defense or you can affect someone else's ability to win directly, which mm-hmm. is kind of like defense, then you might have issues. There might be stuff going on. My dad used to always reach for the rule book. The Book of Hoyle was always the book for us.
The Book of Hoyle?
The Book of Hoyle, that was the Bible of card games. He would go to the Book of Hoyle, and he would always, at least once during Monopoly, my dad would pull out because the old game Monopoly, when you took the top off, the rules were
inside. Yeah.
He would say, give me the rules. And he would say, can you collect money? The big thing with my dad always was, is when you're in jail, can you collect rent from people? when they land on your spot. And my dad's like, you can't collect $200 from me. You're in jail. And we go, here we go again. Get out the rules and read. Yes, you can. While you're in jail, you can collect rent on people's stuff. That was always, I'm not the only one either. There's people whose dads have gone to the rule book way too many times.
My bank account works while I'm in prison. I mean, I'm thinking of mafiosos long gone who thought I got done plenty of work in jail. Like it just like it's still you can still run the empire. You can exactly. It's still gonna work.
So what was your when I say board games, what was number one for you and growing up? What do you think of?
We played a lot of Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, probably that one, and we had Trouble, too. So those two probably most of all. I mean, far and away. I don't think we really had any other ones. Texas Hold'em started to become popular for teenagers for some reason in the early 2000s when the World Series of Poker was on TV.
Yeah.
So we played a little bit of that here and there, but honestly, we didn't play many board games. We did more video games, especially me, and Thor was out hunting. So, yeah. Like, we didn't much, but Sorry and Trouble. First and foremost, I loved Candyland back in the day.
Oh, my son Blake liked Candyland a lot, too.
I cheated so bad at Candyland. I just put Queen Frostine about 7 cards down where I'm going to draw it guaranteed. Cool. Hop to the end of the board.
Chutes and Ladders was a big one, too. I have a tip for people, though. If you invite people over for a little get-together and you're playing board games and someone intentionally brings a Trivial Pursuit game, try to avoid playing it because they're the ones, obviously, who are good at it, who are knowledgeable, photographic memory, whatever, and they know a lot of stuff. Try to avoid, just don't be rude about it, but just maybe push it back a little bit or something.
You know, actually, you want to find out how to avoid something really well. Watch the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Willy Wonka, and then, like when they're talking about like, I'm sorry, you'll have to speak up. This ear doesn't work well, and then he just walks away instead of letting the kid repeat himself. Like, that's how you act with the guy who wants to play Trivial Pursuit. You just say, I'm sorry, you'll have to speak up, and then get out of there before he does.
Don't run. Let him repeat it.
Also, watch out because how many editions of Trivial Pursuit out there right now is just like he might have popped up with that 1992 edition that like
my wife will play the 80s edition of Trivial Pursuit. She'll do that, but anything beyond that, my wife's like, nah, I'm not interested.
You couldn't prove my point any better. Yeah. It's a version that's older than me.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, or about an era from before my time.
Or just go to a garage sale and find one that was made in like 1988. So okay. then all the questions will just be.
You can go to a garage sale and buy a box that says Trivial Pursuit on it, but what's in there? Your mileage may vary. I'm guessing there's some of those Sorry pieces that I couldn't find anymore. Maybe some chewed gum and a Pokemon card. Like, what? What wouldn't you find? That's like the cookie tin that's actually a sewing kit. Like a Trivial Pursuit box. That's a nice looking box for some memories that you might not want to see the sunlight.
It still amazes me, though, that these games are for sale in stores. And I get it that people don't want to, they want to find the game. And they're not crazy expensive, like maybe 8, 10, 12 bucks or whatever. Like for the game of Sorry or whatever. But there's 8 zillion of these at thrift stores all over the. I mean, you walk into a thrift store and you have, if you haven't been to the game area, go there because there they are. They're everywhere. I mean, the thimble may be missing from the game of Monopoly, and Sorry might not have all of the pegs you want, but usually for a 50 cents or a buck, you can get that game. It's right there.
I look at it as I was thinking of this. I was thinking of this as you describe it. No matter what you're buying, if you're buying it brand new, you're getting two products. You're getting the item that you're buying, and you're getting the brand new experience that is shared among all brand new products.
Yeah.
That polished feeling, that clean look, that when you open the inside of the car door and you look under the seats, there's not a speck of dust, that nobody was here before me feeling. And so, like, I think there will always be, for anything that is possible, like if there's a market, there's a brand new market. I don't think there's anything out there that's only used until brand new's not available. You know, for a while it was a premium for Kodak disposable film because they stopped making it up until 5 years ago when they fired them all up again when Kodak and Instamax and everything else got popular again.
Sure. It's interesting when you ask people their favorite games, because I had a discussion with my son about this a couple weeks ago. My wife asked him about his memories of board games, and his was Chutes and Ladders was one one of them. And another one was Alley Cat. I don't know if you ever heard of Alley Cat. It's a battery-powered dog in the middle of a board, and it involves answering a question. And then it's one of the coolest games ever because the dog goes around, and then if it hits a cat who's sitting on the fence, the cat will literally like spring into the air and shoot. It was a wonderful game.
Is this a fever dream that you're describing to me right now?
Alley Cat. There's probably a YouTube video on it because it brought much joy to our family. And my dad found one at a garage sale, and then the cat broke, and then he found another one at a garage sale to replace that, replacement parts for that.
Are there Alley Cat rules in the Book of Hoyle?
Probably not in the Book of... probably not in the Book of Hoyle. And everybody, of course, card games are kind of a tradition here in the North with hunting and stuff like that. People like their...
Euchre
and their...
Bridge.
Yeah, bridge and whatever else they do. It's kind of part of a tradition of I think, humans. Or it's not just an American thing. I think it's a human tradition, right?
What? Games?
Playing games and board 100%. Games.
100%. There were, I'll go there. The guards who were guarding Jesus as he died on the cross were casting dice.
Casting dice,
yeah.
Yes.
And that was, they had them for reasons related mostly to gambling. But no, there have always been, I'm sure, without the gambling style games, there's a human interest in randomness and chance.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, before we wrap things up for this edition of the Gray Area, I just want to touch on real quick. There was a major sports announcement this past week where ESPN acquired the NFL Network and the Red Zone and rights to WWE wrestling. We'll leave that off the table. But there are things coming yet, maybe this year, maybe by the end of this year, where you may see some games on an ESPN app. Pay for platform that may be coming still yet this year with that acquisition. So this transition to seeing football games on all these different platforms will continue to escalate. There's no doubt.
Anytime big companies buy other big companies, I call it a general net loss, but there might be a silver lining here, which is that you might have some unity in streaming. You know, the same app might now have NFL Red Zone and WrestleMania, for example. And that I like because it's becoming more and more and more streaming services, more and more subscriptions that you need to get the whole experience. So that might be the one thing. I'm gonna stop before I get political.
The Red Zone is a great channel, though, and I'm hoping that they separate the Red Zone from the DirecTV NFL ticket because the ticket's too much money. But for $20 a month during the NFL season, I might subscribe to the Red Zone. Red Zone's a great channel.
Yeah, totally.
You don't have to watch every game and flip around like on the ticket. It just goes to games when something important is happening, and it just constantly goes from game to game and brings you segments of games when they are exciting. Initially called the Red Zone because when a team gets inside the 20, they would go to that game. Not necessarily the rule now, but still the Red Zone. So that's a great channel. If that's available for a fee that's not more than $20 a month or so, then I'm in. Good.
Same.
I'm in.
Same. That's fantastic content for me because it's a great starting point. If I want more, I can go get more. You know, I can look up that particular highlight. I can look at the highlights to that particular game if I want to. But I don't need to actively seek the starting points, you know, the reasons, like if I'm asking the question, what was interesting about that game? There's a constant trickle of answers for me. And again, I can use those as jumping off points and bring some of that to the show here or on my afternoon show or on my morning show.
And baseball and football have, I don't know if a problem is the word that I use for it, but I've had a lot of friends I talked to and I asked them, do you watch Brewer games? A fellow I was hanging out with yesterday down in Wausau, I said, he's a big Brewer fan. I said, do you watch every game? He said, no, I don't pay to watch it. He said, usually within an hour after the game's over, all the highlights are on YouTube and I can watch them there for free.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, Major League Baseball cannot be garnering enough revenue from that YouTube experience to replace what they used to have make you watch the game. And so at some point that's going to change, you would think, right?
Well, yes, but at the same time I'm biased in that I am a longtime ad blocker. I believe in a healthy relationship with advertisements and that we don't currently have one. So that's its whole other topic, but just recently YouTube stopped all ad blocking tools from working quite effectively. I know there are some out there, but I'm not in the know enough to know them. And the same time they did that, coincidentally, the number of ads on YouTube videos doubled. So it's pretty easy to imagine that ticker in the sky only going one direction.
So,
how much money YouTube has at hand. I know it doesn't make its way to the creators, but I know YouTube shareholders are doing just fine.
And I found myself even last year doing that, where I'm just like, I'll listen to the game on the radio, and then when it's over, I'll go back and I'll see the highlights that I missed visually that I didn't quite understand. So a lot of people do that, too. It's all there.
I will say that on YouTube, one of the best channels is the NFL's official channel, because yes, indeed, you do get same-day highlights. You get out there is 60 minutes or 37, however many minutes they could find of your favorite player, current or past. You know, you can, like, they just did here's 20 minutes of Bob Sanders, the old Colt safety, 5'8" and full of hate. Like,
you want to watch the Ice Bowl? There it is.
Oh, it's there. Totally there. That crazy game, the Chiefs-Rams from 2019, that was like 50-47 by the end of it, that's
there
in its entirety. No commercials. So, like, there's definitely wins there. But there are YouTube ads. It's just that you don't get the TV commercials.
Right.
Give and take. It's life.
All right, Gray. Always good talking to you. We'll be back again next every Monday morning, 8 to 9. We do the Gray Area. Have a good day there, sir.
You too.
All right. We got news coming up here in just a moment here, 98Q.